Amagne Will. Here through God's grace and God's mercy and dignity, I am real excited to be here. I'm grateful that today I woke up without the desire to use the day. You understand? To make that one, look, in the program, in the place where they said we were consistently incapable of making good decisions. You understand? So to be in that place, to be in a place, man, where they saying having a good idea 2 days in a row is some unique shit. You understand? And to be able to come in here in this place with y'all people who've all made the same decisions. I don't really care how many times you made a decision. If you got at least 2 days clean, then you got the same exact experience that I got. You woke up today and you didn't have that overwhelming desire to get high on some shit. Now, you might be high on some shit and not be using drugs, and we'll deal with that. But I'm saying not wanting to get high on that thing that chased us up in here. Yeah. The thing that sold the VCR. I know you don't have VCRs and shit, and you know it's a whole lot of y'all don't probably know what a VCR is. Cause you can look at them, they're young, and you know what I mean. They still got little peach fuzz on them still, and you know what I mean. They talking about. So anyway, look, so maybe y'all know about that. So what I'm saying is I'm grateful because today I woke up and I didn't want to get high on nothing. Not just no overwhelming desire to wake up with nothing and find a way to get something. No overwhelming desire to prove to you that I had it just as good as you, that I knew how to put one and one together when I had nothing to start with. You understand? So I'm here and I'm in Ocean City and in CPR CNA, man, with my friends. Look. Not just like the friends from Manassas, Virginia who and all the surrounding areas who've embraced me. You understand? But my Camden family. Right? So look, cause everybody don't get an opportunity to have two families in the house. It kind of represents the two lives that we get an opportunity to live as a result of getting clean, because maybe you don't know, but something in you got to die for something in you to live. Something in you, look, you got to kill something in you in order for you to live a new way of life. You can't live a new way of life if you're still buying into the old shit you believed when you got here. So I'm grateful. Look. So I took Big Dave, and Dave ain't so big anymore. You're getting skinny there. You're getting skinny. He getting healthy as a mother. He healthy now. He getting healthy and shit. You know what I mean? Sometimes, man, you can, look, sometimes getting clean and forgiving yourself mean that the shit that used to run your life clean don't run your life no more. And food don't run his life no more, and it don't run mine no more either, Dave. And so Dave decided he wanted to go to Camden with me from the battlefield area, not past the Nimes. And we said, man, look, and we put the top down on the Mustang and shit. And we started rolling, and then we got in Camden, and we pulled over and put the top the fuck. Yo, I ain't stupid, dog. I'm from there, but I don't look like I'm from there now. Man, look. So you gotta put the top up when you rolling it. You can act like you all tough and shit, but when they got flowers on every other corner and shit, and you don't want flowers on the corner representing you, you might want to put your top up. I come from a spot where stick-up boys didn't always have guns. Sometimes they put mace and water guns. So I'm just talking about where I'm from. So I said, Dave, I'm gonna take you to McGuire Projects. I'm from McGuire. You understand that place where loyalty was more important than unity? You know, because everybody don't know there's a difference. So I'm going to take you, man, to the spot, man. We used to pull up. You could accidentally pull up. There'll be 10, 20 dudes, man, trapping and shit with smiley face bags and purple bags and green bags. And you couldn't open your window up. And I'm going to take you to the spot, man, because I might live in Manassas now, but I ain't from Manassas. Oh, man, I thought. So Dave said, all right. Because Dave's like 6'6", maybe. Damn near 300 pounds. He ain't really give a fuck. He wasn't impressed with that shit on the way there. He wasn't the one that told me to put the hood up. That was my idea. So we was on the spot, and then, you know what I mean, on the boulevard. Then we made the turn, and I'm saying, boy, you about to see it, and
and we made another turn, and I was looking for it. Because they got townhouses and shit there now. So Dave is saying, where the fuck is your hood? Oh man, it's rougher than this in Manassas and shit. He started throwing me gang signs and shit. VA, VA. I'm all CMD'd up. He like, VA, another VA. Fucking hood is gone. You understand? So that's what happens in here. Is that stuff changes. Sometimes stuff changes and you don't even know it's changing. You don't know your dog got bigger till you go away for a week and come back and realize your dog then got big. And so that's what happens, is sometimes stuff changes. And so the topic is, and look, I gotta read it, because I think I told people five different topics this shit. Can we just, yeah. Now, I know, I tell you, there's something to do with forgiving, self-forgiveness, or some shit like this. Just show the fuck up. Because I'll make shit up. So I said, learning how to forgive yourself. So then I didn't really want to deal with that. It might have something to do with it, because I said, learn how to forgive yourself. I'm not came to fucking share, right? So then Leanna said, well, that's multiples of steps. And I said, well, fuck that. I didn't read all that. She said, well, there's even some of that in the sixth step, and you can't even get with the forgiveness piece until you address the empathy piece. And you know, I hate when y'all New Yorkers start getting all crafty with me and shit. Fuck that, the fucking newcomer, whatever. So I'm saying, really? And we're having conversation, and so we're having healthy dialogue, and what's happening is I'm having these great conversations with, look, let me just say this, man. When I found out that I was sharing with Cheryl, and dig this, when I came into our fellowship, you understand, look, we all bring all varying degrees of brokenness in our fellowship with us. We have to really put the big ear on and start to really listen to the newcomers so you can find out, because you can't help them unless you give them an opportunity to tell you who they really are. No, not what they look like. Not that they look like they ain't in that much pain, because you don't really know the pain and the absolute wreckage, or whether or not the silent cry that's in their spirit just happened this morning. And so what happened, so I'm here, and I just need to find a way, and I don't really know a whole lot about stuff, and I'm thrust into this fellowship of people who are practicing about living, and I don't have a checking account. All that. We used to get a car load and go to the local bar and shit, because that guy, he had a little Spanish dude that kept the 38 and shit, and he would cash your fucking checks and shit. We ain't coming here with checking accounts and all that cute shit. We went to the spot. You understand it? And so I ain't know, and I would come in and I was having, look, I was fucking whoever smiled at me. Now, because you can say you love yourself until you realize the realization is that you've been prostituting yourself to the fellowship for quite some time now. If anybody that wants you can have you, you a hoe. And you can have clean time. And everything ain't free if it costs you or somebody else. And so I didn't know how to do dates and things like that. And people say, well, oh, that's who you was talking about. So Cheryl took a vested interest in me. And Cheryl's a cutie pie. She was my favorite little red bone thing, walking around with all that attitude, and I think I could fucking tame her. Oh, I'm a good get honest, goddamn it. So I said, man, look, and I ain't say she ever said she wanted me. Come on, man, most of us is looking at rings and ain't even got a girlfriend yet. So Cheryl says, you need to come get me, we going out. I said, she going to do it to me. Yeah, boy, I ain't sharing this with nobody. I ain't telling my sponsor where I need to be, what time. Put my best cologne on. Brush my motherfucking tooth. Fuck out of here. Y'all know they ain't your teeth and shit. They're yours when you buy them, is what I'm saying. Get to the house and, yeah, we going out. We going to the restaurant in the Cherry Hill Mall. And I said, I don't give a fuck where we going at, because all I'm thinking about is the happy ending. Because there's something in me that thinks that as long as you do it to me, that means you want me. And when you show up with no self-esteem, any attention is wonderful.
So I get to Cheryl, and we get all linked up, and she wasn't on no crutches, and she wasn't on no bunch of men. Look, if she was, I ain't see none of that. The act is just is big enough. It's just right. She fucking smiled at me and shit. A-Boss is looking at me funny because they hating, and I'm going out with Cheryl, and fuck y'all. And we did the mall thing, and, you know, and suffice to say, we had many good conversations, and she was talking to me, and I didn't realize that my value was in my ability to engage and to have any conversation and to just be happy as hell to be there. But all the time I'm thinking, I'm just going to go with this. I'm going to hold the door because, you know, I tried to get in the car and, you know, you do the remote control and she just stood there and looked at me. Now, you're supposed to open the motherfucking door. She told y'all she could put some cuss words together and shit. But if you think you're getting some, you'll tolerate the cut. All right, fuck it. All right, boo. All right, then. I got the fucking door and shit. Get on in, baby. Went to the mall and walked around and shit and looked that shit I wished I could buy. And got all the way back and got to the crib. And, you know, I learned. So, you know, jump out the car, run around, open the door. Cut the fucking car off, stop acting like it's a drive-by and walk her to the door. Wait for something I think special to happen. Don't know that something special already happened.
And she gave me a kiss on the cheek. I mean, I'm thinking she's just teaching me a lesson and she's going to give me a kiss on the cheek. And she went inside and she closed the fucking door. I'm thinking that's just okay, the lesson, I got it.
She's going to open the door back up. She's going to realize I'm supposed to finish this job. He needs a happy ending. Again, do it to me. I won't tell nobody. I already learned how to be fucking exclusive. You know, I'm not telling. And she never opened the door back up.
When she kissed me on the cheek, she said, "You know what? You're a real good guy." She said, "I had a good time hanging out with you. Maybe nobody's ever told you this. You don't have to sleep with nobody you don't want to." So what I'm supposed to talk to you about today is about self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness is about how you treat you. The step process starts to deal with not just by giving yourself lip service, it's about how you treat you better. So if I tell you that I love me, because the first person that asked me, "Do I love me?" I thought, well, of course I love me. Can't you tell I love me? And he said, well, why do you, all your behavior demonstrate that your intention is to try to kill you on a daily basis? How do I kill me on a daily basis? How many people have you slept with that you didn't think it was a good idea to put a fucking condom on? You ain't listening to their story? You ain't know that she was holding? What do you think them calling things is all over you? I ain't the only fucking one that's sleeping around and shit because somebody just said yes. Because you don't have no esteem. I'm not the only one that tells everybody I love myself and I got a God in my understanding, but still walk around here acting absolutely contrary to what's coming out of my mouth. I'm not the only one that didn't understand by the time I reached the sixth step that I was supposed to be on the top of my resentment list. Anybody want to blame anybody else and give anybody else buy-in to it's everybody else's fault. And if it wasn't for God and stuff, and God, I believe he let me go through that, and he must have turned his back on me, and all the stuff that we go through and all the shit that we share in here, because that's common in here. Sometimes some of the shit we said, look, that's why you gotta watch what comes out of your mouth, because what you do is you feed newcomers, and what you tell them is that what you feeding them is okay. And so when you share that absolute nonsense with them, and they think that that's okay, then they start feeding that same nonsense to other people, and then you start kicking back and forth the same bad information, and everybody stays sick. So how am I going to forgive somebody? How am I going to learn how to understand rather than be understood when I don't even like me yet? Self-forgiveness. Still running around here blaming everybody for everything. Yeah, it's clean, man, and it's her fucking fault. It took me 5 times through the step process to stop hating my father. And I had become just like him. I just move away from him. I just won't fucking call him. My birthday is on August 27th. His is on the 24th. How come I gotta remember his birthday, but he ain't never remembering mine? Fuck him. Years in this process, coming into meetings with the same illness and sickness, the stuff that festered inside of me, man, in the same spirit that was lulled into a deep sleep, because my spirit didn't die, it was lulled to sleep. It was put to sleep by a certain kind of behavior. Some behaviors are like lullabies to your spirit. Come in here and just broken, man, and no way out, man, and no hope of real relief, man. And so I come in here and I got counterfeit spirituality and I get in counterfeit relationships and I surround myself with other broken people. And it don't really matter if I'm not getting any healthier. And if people like Cheryl don't take a vested interest in me, and if Pat don't look at me and start dancing and saying, I love you, Bill, and I always, what the fuck does she keep saying that stuff for? When somebody's trying to sing something different to wake your spirit up. Because that's what happens when people smile at you and hug on you and love on you, is they're trying to teach you how to love on yourself. Then I wonder why the relationships don't work. You wouldn't even get in a relationship with you. But you want her to stay. Oh, marry me, baby. Would you marry you? No, I'm saying with the information you know about you. Newcomers, they like, well, what the fuck? I don't get that. Why they laughing? Because they know they ain't shit either. You gonna marry you and you know you a thief and you a cheat? You gonna marry you and you know the last time you had sex with you, you was fantasizing about somebody other than who you in the bed with? But marry you. Go ahead and marry you. We'll see you on the way out. When you come in here and share for the next couple of months about why she don't do this and oh my God, look, I came to the fucking convention. I was in this convention some years ago sharing on who I am when nobody's looking and my fucking woman was fucking somebody else. And I just kept coming. Kept doing what y'all told me to do because y'all told me it wasn't none of my fucking business. How do you tell somebody it ain't their business when their peoples is fucking somebody else? Is it any of your business when that person you sponsor relapses? Well, wait, that got to do with anything else. It's the same relationships and the same investment. As long as they stop the behavior and come back, you got to forgive them like you got to forgive your peoples who went outside the relationship and gave away that shit you thought you owned. You don't own her pussy. Come in this fellowship and stay faithful to somebody who wasn't faithful to you. You can't share that shit because then people say, well, when you share it, then you ain't being humble. I walked around here for a couple years not acting outside of my character and knowing that she had went outside the relationship and not telling you because it wasn't my fucking story to tell and hurting like a motherfucker and traveling the country trying to share the pain away and still feeling like shit and still going home and doing what I was supposed to do. And sometimes the only love I got was when y'all hugged on me. So quick to fucking judge somebody. Yo, he just a good sharing ass spiritual motherfucker. This spiritual motherfucker was hurting. The only reason I'm in front of the room is because I'm sick like that. And I'm sitting here to tell you how to get out of it. It'd be funny. People be, sometimes people, I think they just be levitating. Every time I fucking hear them, they just be more spiritual. I'd be trying to figure out, is that really you? Is it really possible to come in this fellowship and not ever fucking hurt? How is it, what the, who the fuck are you? I'm just trying to figure it out. Because I go through stuff. 19 years in the program, man, I still struggle. I had to pray when I got here. Look, man, just for the weekend, just don't say anything fucked up to your girlfriend. I had to fucking pray. Because I'm an asshole when I ain't around y'all. She'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Did you call your fucking sponsor? First off, y'all know that's a fucking violation and shit. You ain't supposed to ask me did I call my fucking sponsor. Call your motherfucking sponsor. What kind of bullshit is that? Did you call your sponsor and shit? I'm gonna call your sponsor. So I call her sponsor. I mean, I think I got it covered. I called her sponsor and they called a sponsor. Fuck that. I really want to tell on her ass. You need to fucking work with your sponsees or some shit. I'm just saying because that's her fucking sponsor over there. I don't think she understands the desperation, the utter desperation I be in when my girlfriend be acting the fuck up. I need to fucking share about that shit. I love you, baby. Best girlfriend I ever had in my life. Real talk. That was a nice cover? All right. Fuck that. Y'all ain't ruining my happy ending to sell a CD. Fuck that. Matter of fact, we ain't got to sell no CDs, and don't tell nobody what we was talking about in this fucking meeting. If they ain't here, fuck them. They thought eating that bonfire was more important than supporting me and Charlotte. Fuck their ass. Don't tell them. Don't. What goes on in here stays in here. Shit. Thomas said it best. He said the worst thing you can do is stand up here and tell lies in front of the person that's in a relationship with you. Because when you lose their respect, you lose the respect for yourself. I just don't want to lose the respect for myself by losing the respect to her. So I just got to, you know, so I got to tell you where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Because look, man, look, here goes some shit to forget yourself. When I was in, we came to New York and I was really going through, man, because look, somebody fucking called the house after the hour that I think is okay to call the fucking house. And they called on her fucking cell phone. And listen, I know I ain't supposed to go through your phone and all that shit, but you need to let me look at your fucking phone. Because it said you're supposed to forgive yourself, but that means you got to do some shit to forgive yourself. So I woke the fuck up. Who the fuck is that? Oh, it's nobody and shit. What you mean it was nobody? I ain't deaf yet. I heard the fucking phone. So then my great idea said, wait a minute. This is what the little voice said. Fuck that. You bought the phone. And the other little dude said, take it from her. So I said, give me the phone. You know what I'm saying? Everything changed in me. Give me the fucking phone. I ain't giving you my phone. Look, dig this, right? You're going to give me the phone or you're going to be sleeping on the couch and I'm going to still have a phone. Because when I lose my monkey mind and shit, I completely lose my monkey mind. She said, no. So I grabbed it. She tried to hold on to it. I don't know how she ended up over this side of the room. I took the fucking phone. I'm older than you and fuck that. And I look at the phone and shit and I said, you gonna call him and tell him it's inappropriate to call this time of night? I ain't doing that shit. That's embarrassing. Okay, I'll call him. So I called him. Nah, because I'm spiritual and shit, and I'm way a mess, and you think, I'm just saying, because I'm just trying to talk to you. I know you fucking took your girl phone and shit is what I'm saying. I know you out your fucking mind like I. That's why you fucking laughing and shit. The people that really don't get it, like, they're disgusted. How fucking, how dare William? Oh, you need to fucking call your sponsor. Fuck you. Call your sponsor. I never felt so ashamed. I haven't felt that ashamed in a couple of years. I was standing in New York, man. I was up there. I don't know what the hell the topic was. I must have cried all the way through it. I was like, this is the worst fucking, oh my God. I didn't realize how bad it was till the day after. She's in the audience trying, looking at me like I done lost my mind. I realize I'm lucky as hell because she actually decided to wake up that day and still call herself my girlfriend. That's a treat. That's something special. Because they could change their fucking mind in any day. Ain't nothing says she can change her mind. And when you wait, look, maybe you never felt this. I was 2 years clean. I was in the greater Camden area. I had went away. I came back. The house was empty. Because she changed her mind. No, so maybe you don't know what it feels like to come home and everything be gone. Every picture. Because I was thinking paying bills was doing something, but she was buying everything in the house. So when she left, she took everything that was hers. Which was every fucking thing. Except for the shit I got a dresser from the swap meet on Mount Ethan Avenue and shit. That's all I had. I had one dresser. She had stacked shit up neatly on top of it. The beautiful thing was, man, the whole home group after the recovery came to my house after the meeting and they cleaned my house up and they went all over and they bought me a refrigerator because she took the fucking refrigerator. That bitch didn't even want me to eat. If she was in the meeting, I would fucking part of, fuck anonymity. It was that bitch. My bad. Sometimes I get a little out of there and shit. So the liturgist said that then you forgive them, and that's what happens in the sixth step. When you start to really take a look at stuff, you start looking at what's outside of you, and so you learn how to forgive them. And then the seventh step, talk about them even forgiving you, because that's where the humility comes, is when they're able to forgive you. But then the eighth step talks about you forgiving yourself. So how do you forgive yourself if the behavior hasn't changed? Who's supposed to say I do to you? Maybe I should just, can you just hang out until I get better? No, because that's what we do. We're going to negotiate. I'm going to get better and, you know, it shouldn't take me too long. I'm going to get a new sponsor. I've been writing my ass off. I'm still a hoe, but I love you. That's what we do. And then we wonder why people don't buy into that nonsense, because they already been there, or because they know themselves better enough to know that, look, I saw you coming. So look, boo-boo, we can play in the sandbox for a little while, and then when it's time to go, you need to find your own crib to go to. And that hurts. So that's what's been going on, man. Look, man, I've been just grateful. You know what I mean? Look, because I don't know what happens. And kind of Cheryl touched on it, man. So like when you go through a period, because what happens is when you start to separate yourself from the group and you start realizing, or you get amnesia to the fact that the only reason you've arrived to this point in your recovery is because of who you surrounded yourself by. And so then you get bigger than the people you surrounded yourself with and you stop asking them for help. And so what God does, the God that's so wonderful in my life, is that he starts making these big things happen in my life where I absolutely have a need for you. So then when my friend dies and stuff, and I come to Camden for that, and then my aunt dies and I come to Camden for that, and then my sponsee who I love with all my heart dies and I have to bury him, you understand? And all that stuff is going on around me, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know whether, because, you know, look, if you can't cry, and dig this is for my men's in here, you know what I mean? If you a man still that don't understand the value in crying enough to free yourself, then you're no good to anybody. And so I'm in there and I'm making meetings and stuff and I got all this clean time, man, and I'm in tears because I understand that my help doesn't have a clean time requirement and I understand that. Anyway, no. And so when I share the story with you about that, absolutely, when I watched that TV show with the animals and shit and it started talking about the gazelles and the lions and shit and it started talking about that the gazelles just was having a group conscious every morning. I got the big ear on. I don't know if he meant to say group conscious. He said them motherfuckers was meeting. I heard group conscious. He said the gazelles are having a group conscious on every morning and what the gazelles are doing. And look. And this message rings true to every gazelle in the pack. Not that stay in your lane bullshit, because stay in your lane means you by your fucking self. I'm talking about the pack and shit. I'm talking about why this room is full and we ain't all that bonfire eating shrimp and shit. And I'm telling you, anybody that's there, don't tell them what the fuck we talked about. And so I'm saying that the gazelles are having a group conscious. What the gazelles are saying is that no matter what you do, don't be the slowest running gazelle. I don't give a fuck if you're the oldest gazelle, the youngest gazelle, the fattest gazelle, the gay gazelle, or the straight gazelle. None of that shit fucking matters. Dig this, you need to stay in the pack. There's another group conscious. The guy said it. He had like an Australian voice and shit. I'm not going to do it because I don't know how to act like I'm fucking Australian. I'm just fucking William. He said the lions are having a group conscious too. I said, he said a meeting. I heard group conscious. I said, what the fuck are the lions talking about? The lions are saying, and that's the disease of addiction, just in case you missed this. That's the disease that has all these babies and all these defects and shit and all that shit that'll jackpot you. And what the lions are saying is, all the fuck we got to do is catch the slowest running gazelle. It don't really give a fuck how much clean time you got. It don't care how fat or how skinny you are. It don't care if your hair is straight or nappy, whether you wear glasses or see good, whether you fucking the opposite sex or the same sex. Your disease don't really care about none of that shit. That's why we don't care about none of that shit. That's why we don't waste energy talking about what separates you from us and start buying into what makes you like us. If you don't stay in the fucking pack, you're liable to get jackpotted out and your disease will eat your ass up. So everybody, we all got a singular purpose. We all got spiritual aim, and spiritual aim is just simply the direction that you're looking in. And your spiritual aim needs to be that you need to be looking in the right way and going, because you tend to go where you're looking. And maybe you're not already in the position that the people you're surrounded by think you should be. Well, probably you hang around the wrong motherfuckers. But just in case that ain't it, just because he or she ain't where you think they are, don't mean they ain't going that direction. So maybe they're just looking that way, and maybe they're just getting the courage to take the one step and the two steps, and maybe you're just a little bit further along just for the day. But think this, if you forget the amount of effort it took to attain the level of freedom that you got that it talks about in the Amnesia chapter called Recovery and Relapse, then you can find yourself in the jackpot, and your sponsee could be your sponsor. So I said this in closing. I want this Vegas, and I was there, and I'm telling you, I'm not, everybody don't need to be in Vegas, and if you're using rent money and shit, you probably don't need to be in a casino, but I'm just, that has nothing to do with me, and I think it's one close by, and do it until you get tired of it. And so, that's it, you know what I mean? If you're sitting with your woman and boo is on the other side of the room, just keep coming, and one day you'll be able to walk in the meeting with your head up. And you only have one person that's saying they sleep with you in the room. And that's just my shit, because I know what that feels like. You understand? Honesty without compassion is brutality. And everything ain't free if it costs. And so I'm in the casino, and so they say, look, and they say you need to get a card and you need to check in. And so if you do that, we'll randomly call you, and they have a big wind tunnel in the casino, and everybody don't have that in Vegas, but they got it in this one place, and all of a sudden they say, okay, and such, and you're now in the wind tunnel, and if you get in the wind tunnel, you know what I mean, you know what the wind tunnel is, it's full of fucking money and shit, they got all kind of bills, they got hundreds and fifties, and it even got tens and
fives in it and singles. And I know your face fucking changed. Who wants to catch a fucking single? Well, it's in the air thing. It's in there. And so everybody, look. So they say they come up and the person's there and their sponsor. The person that was telling them how to play the thing was giving them direction. And so they say, you need to get inside and don't lean on the fucking wall and all that shit because that's against the fucking rules and shit. Look, they gave them some absolute direction. The same way I'm going to give you, they say, what you need to do is you need to get right in the middle of the wind tunnel. They say, and what I need you to do is I need you to just reach out, and you can even fucking close your eyes if you want to. But you just need to reach out and grab everything you can get your hands on. Now why? So somebody is real crafty and say, well, why can't I lean on the side where the wind is at? Because if you lean in on the side, you might get spun the fuck around like everything else that's getting spun around in the wind tunnel. Now you might not get that yet. Fucking let it marinate and shit. So now it's a whole crowd of people, just like the crowd of people that standing here that thought, oh my God, he fucking took her fucking cell phone and he said she was, did it sound like he threw her across the fucking room? I'm saying if you heard that, you heard correctly. We're all standing there. Everybody is outside and they're observing the same way that happens when you get in your storm. Everybody around you in your area, in your home group, everybody's sitting around and watching you when you're in the middle of your storm. Why are they watching when you're storm? Because they know that their turn is coming. So we're all standing there and the machine's coming on and the person's asking questions and it's okay to ask questions. They're relevant questions. Why should I stand there? Why should I not look for hundreds and big bills and grab singles and stuff? And the person said, because you can waste so much energy trying to grab onto the stuff that you think you're supposed to get that the storm can end and you can come out of it with nothing. So then the hit is that the reason, look, because the literature says it more be revealed that we grow through pain and recovery and often find that such a crisis is a gift so that if nobody ever dies in your life, if they never take your car back, if you never know what it feels like to have her say, I've changed my mind. If you don't know what it feels like, to run around and to have an orange sticker on your door. Like I almost had just last month. I had a fucking good. I'm not talking about no excuses. I fucking hoard money. I think I should hold out to the last possible second to pay them motherfuckers. I don't want to go to fucking court. I'm thinking it'll pass. They said, we got a judgment. We're going to be able to kick you out. And the only way we ain't kicking you out is if you give us all this fucking money that got nothing to do with whether your bills are paid. The rent and everything was paid. They said, so what? And I'm calling y'all and exposing y'all because I'm telling everybody I'm in the wind tunnel. Oh my God, I'm going to need some help. I need a little bit of here and a little bit there. And God said the reason that you're struggling is because you won't surrender. So I surrendered. I didn't say I stopped looking for help. I said I surrendered. And the moment I surrendered, the moment you surrender. When we were new and we would listen to people carry our message, they used to share a story about being in a hole. And they used to share about everybody coming by the hole and they were represented by people's mothers because nothing was greater than a mother's love. And they talked about friends walking by and wishing you the best in the fucking hole. And they talked about preachers walking by and praying over top of you until that finally, when you reach the most desperate state, there's something about the surrender when the recovering addict comes in and jumps in a hole with you and the absolute frustration you have with that person that jumped in a hole with you because all you can see with your limited thinking because you only can believe what you can see and not believe otherwise is that you think that now you got two people in a jackpot situation, but what you don't understand is the reason why they jumped in a hole with you is because they've been there before. It don't take a process for God to get you free. Freedom comes the moment that you surrender. God is so awesome, he don't even got to throw a rope for you. A door will appear in your hole. And when you walk through the door, you'll always be equal to or even elevated above everybody you used to surround yourself with before you were in a hole. Because the reason why you're struggling like you're struggling is because you still expect people to fix you. And God ain't going to help you until you surrender and give it to him because he don't want nobody else to get the credit but him.
So I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Still got a great home to live in. I'm still somebody's boyfriend. Now, that might not be important. Funny, that ain't important to you? That's all right. You want to live by yourself and do you, then do you. You like cooking for yourself and being in the house by yourself? That's fine. I love it that somebody else likes to fucking cook for my dusty ass. First off, I'm not that skilled at cooking. No, I'm just saying. You might want to bring who you really are to the table and shit so people can be who they need to be in your life so that your life, you don't struggle at home because the best you ain't showing up. Maybe I clean the house better than she does, so maybe I should clean the fucking house. I iron better than most of the fucking people I know. That's them 16 years in the fucking army. I know how to fucking clean the fucking floor with a toothbrush. I ain't doing that shit. But I got skills. So look, man, I'm going to close, man. this was fun. Yeah, this was fun, man. This is a hometown piece. This is a great treat, man, to be among friends. You understand it? So I'm gonna close like I always do, man, with a really, really simple statement, man. This is a posture checking statement. You understand? And the statement is simply this, that if you meet William Messer today and you forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet the God of your understanding and you forget him, you lost everything. I keep coming back.